Late Friday afternoon, we got a copy of the soil boring report.
And that's from the developer?
That's from the developer, right? So they received approval from the DNR. Stop me when I get off here. They received approval from the DNR to conduct the tests. They contract with somebody to conduct those tests and produce a report that then goes back to DNR for review.
Okay, can you, as a developer, stand up and explain this?
Sure.
Process.
Well, let's be clear again, though. This is not city business. This is the business between the development team and Milwaukee County and the Department of Natural Resources.
I'm trying to address a lot of the concerns.
I understand that.
Your head? No, well, you're...
But it needs to be clear that it's not our business. Mr. Marzo.
You want me... What, can you repeat your question then, Timmy?
I just want to know what process there is that you need to go through for DNR approval and what has been done so far.
We've started the process with the DNR and with Milwaukee County. Both of them have to approve it before we can continue with any building anything on their portion of the project, which the portion being built on landfill proper, if you will, landfill fill, is probably 10-15% of the overall development. But we have started the soil boring, which is the initial analysis that we do. We take samples down 50-70 feet into the ground to figure out what is in the soil, with the limits of landfill waste as well, and what it's classified as. As well as there's been question with the mapping that Milwaukee County has as to where the limits of the actual landfill debris are on the property, and we've conducted tests to determine where those limits are. The DNR gets copied on those, Milwaukee County as the landowner gets copied on those, and those tests are continuing at this point. And there's been years worth of discussion with Milwaukee County and the DNR and what we're proposing out there.
Okay, and then how does the state land fit in?
The state land has been purchased by Mr. Zimmerman and myself, which we closed on. Now we own that.
Right, but is there some kind of remediation that needs to happen on that?
There is a portion of it that does have landfill debris on it. Not the entire piece, but a portion of that, the old DOT land between Crystal Ridge Drive and Highway 36 does have landfill debris on it, which Milwaukee County has documented very well in their tests over the years, and knowing where it is and the limits of the waste of that at this point in time.
And part of those are conversations that are taking place between the county and the developer on those issues.
And how we deal with that.
Right.
If we want to build on it, we're going to have to do something with it. So we're discussing options on how best to proceed.
Right. Mr. Williams.
Blair Williams with Wired Properties. It's important to note that so there's a whole series of kind of iterative steps that we have to go through. So the testing that we're doing now, I would characterize as the preliminary testing to help us understand kind of a baseline condition. To the extent that our future development would occur on land that we know to be impacted, we would then go through another step of testing to confirm that what it is we're trying to do, we can actually do. So this first round of testing is more or less like going and getting a general health assessment from your doctor. We'll diagnose specifically what we're facing as a result of some of this baseline testing. And then to move forward with specific development intent, we would go through much more specific testing to come up with engineered solutions to arrive at an appropriate level of kind of safety for human health and safety. So this is testing that we needed to do to understand certain things. The next batch of testing, and there will be multiple batches of testing, will be to ensure that what we want to do is not only physically possible, but also is able to be done within a bandwidth of human health and safety that the DNR and the other regulatory bodies deem appropriate.
Right, so that's the information that's sent to the DNR and they determine?
They'll determine from that. So, and we're kind of going with, it's a little bit like baby steps too, because with the state-owned land that was recently acquired, the boundary of the landfill is a little bit blurry from the historical records. So the first thing we needed to do was identify where actually is land that was never used for landfill, and then where's land that was actually used as landfill. That'll impact how we would specifically locate our developments. It would also impact what additional remediation activity might need to happen in order to make that the other portions of that now privately owned land developable. And then the county is deeply interested to understand what the impacts will be then for the boundary of the landfill, for the land that's still county land versus the privately owned lands. There's a lot of moving pieces in there, but each step requires deep collaboration with the DNR, and their oversight kind of carries the day in terms of determining whether or not what we're proposing to do is feasible.
Okay. And then, since I have you, if we removed the apartments from the TID and it was like a separate, it was just north of Rawson Avenue that was part of the development, what would the numbers look like for your complex? I mean, do you feel as though it's a working...
So I would defer a bit to Ehlers, but I think I could speak for them a little bit. The reason that the boundaries of the tax increment district are what they are is because the tax increment district as a whole is being used as a financing tool to ensure that the proceeds are available to facilitate the overall development. If you took the apartments outside of the boundaries of that tax increment district and said that the development needed to work entirely on its own, what it would fundamentally do is jeopardize the entire development. Those apartments have a very well understood future value, and both municipality as well as the other authorities on that joint review board really can understand what that value is going to be. And indeed, if you look at the value that those apartments would be projected to create, they go a very long way towards supporting the original general obligation bond that's part of this financing package. Those development incentives that occur subsequent to that general obligation bond, those come only when the value is generated, only when the value is created. So that as a municipal revenue obligation, as opposed to a general obligation, it means that the municipality has an obligation to do something with funds it receives, and that's the developer-funded TIF, or a pay-go TIF, where the developer fronts the money in order to pay for all of those improvements, gets paid back over time from the revenues that the municipality generates through the collection of property taxes. If we don't create the value, which would result in the payment of property taxes, we can't get paid back for the funds that we would be expending and sourcing on our own at the front end of the development. The apartments play a much more important role in the general obligation portion of the overall financing package.
Okay, so is this something where I would be able to assume that a situation where, the baseball, not the stadium, but the other building, doesn't work, it's not financially feasible or whatever, you're unable to pay, whatever happens, you guys all get hit by buses and you're not able to pay anymore. The income from the apartments is what would guarantee that pilot or the personal property, whatever, is paid.
Well, actually, what ends up happening, I think, if we were to really look at disaster awareness, if we were all gone and the apartments were built, the municipality would have the benefit of the real estate tax stream that would be generated by the apartments and the improvements south of Rawson. And Ehlers, working on your behalf, is going through a reasonable determination as to the likelihood of all of the revenues necessary to support the GO bond first and foremost. So if the municipality sells bonds, gets the proceeds, they now have a debt obligation, they have to pay those bonds back to the bondholders over time. The real estate taxes generated from the development south of Rawson should be sufficient to support the repayment of the general obligation bond. The pilot and the real estate taxes that would be generated through the development of those improvements north of Rawson, the TIF package that comes from that looks more like a municipal revenue obligation. We would have paid for those improvements, for the stuff that's needed to be that we would need to be paid back for in order, because of the but-for test, we can't afford to do it unless we know we're going to have a stream of funds later. But we would have paid for all of that. You wouldn't be on the hook for that unless we generated the revenue for you in the first place. The general obligation bond is a different thing. That's actually the municipality selling bonds, relying on its debt rating in order to have as low a possible cost of capital. And Ehlers, in working with the finance director and with the city, is arriving at a plan that helps the city feel reasonably and sufficiently comfortable that the general obligation bond requirements will be met through the anticipated real estate tax value created.
Okay, is it generally general practice that a pilot is only paid through the length of the term of the...
I can't speak to general practice on pilots, but pilots are typically used as a mechanism to ensure that a municipality that provides a level of service to a private development on a tax-exempt parcel of land receives compensation for that those services that they're providing. But I can't speak to whether it typically extends beyond a TIF. They are often used in environments where there is no TIF. So a pilot is not limited to transactions in which a municipality is providing financing.
So that would all just be in the developer agreement?
The development agreement will be where all of the details get fleshed out and where your municipal tax consultant and your own folks who will go through and review this are going to ensure that the city's financial interests are protected over the course of the development.
Thank you.
Alderman Mayor, then Alderman Taylor, and then maybe we can vote. Okay, Alderman Mayor.
The one thing I'm sure of is we're going to have apartments there. If nothing else goes, we approve the zoning for the apartments, we approve the apartments. So if nothing else goes, we're still going to have apartments there. That's not going to change. Just two other points I want to make here. One of the most damning pieces of information that I received was the affidavit from a hearing of the Common Council from 1985. And in that, the city engineer discussed his concerns with what was buried in the landfill. I talked to the city engineer, retired city engineer, Jack Bennett, today. He is still one of the most well-respected city engineers in the entire state. He has no concerns with building on the landfill. He says, obviously, common sense has to prevail, but he has no concerns about that. So I just wanted to put that out there. And lastly, Mr. Mayor, being the former alderman of this district, being the mayor, leader of the city.
You always do this to me.
It was Solomon.
Your view.
Solomon's district.
It was my district,
was.
Too.
You had that view? You had the landfill?
Really? Former Alderman Solomon is very much in favor of this as well. Mr. Mayor, what are your...
I support the project in concept. We got to work out the final details, but I would urge approval of this.
Thank you. No further.
On the... Really?
Come on.
Mr. Liberta.
Sorry, given that, and this is probably a question for Don or the city attorney, but given that we are only have one opportunity to write, I did want to ask the city attorney a point of clarification. The second amendment that was made was clearly stated by the mayor before the vote that it's that the private plan review amendment that wasn't as clearly stated in the first motion. And I just wanted to make sure it's clear that the reference to that at the intent of the TID that development proposals on non-taxable properties will be considered for a commensurate pilot is something being included in the project plan.
Right.
Because the resolution structure itself is intended to satisfy the state's demand for creation of the TID.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it would be something you want in the resolution, but in the project plan. And I didn't hear that as clearly stated with the first motion. And so I thought that should be clarified prior to final adoption.
Mr. City Attorney.
I understood it to be rephrased within the project plan.
That was how I seconded
it. The intent
it.
Of the Common Council.
That's my understanding.
Under the administrative
right.
issue.
Yeah.
All right, just to be clear, it's covered under the administrative line item.
Right.
And we may adjust the dollar amount, but that would be the intention of the motion.
Yes.
So everybody's nodding up and down.
Yep.
All right. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mark it as unanimous. Motion carries. Move on to item G3. See if we can get through some of these.
I'll start rocking.
G3 is value engineering for the engineering study to vet the project.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're pleased tonight to have an update on the Waukesha Water Diversion Project, and this is a big deal. I'm pleased to introduce to you Mr. Dan Duchniak, who is a world-famous Franklin resident. He's also the manager of the Waukesha Water Utility. And Alderman Wilhelm's excuse. You want to sit, Dan? Sit. Thank you, Don.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Alderman. Thank you.
Mr. Duchniak.
Allowing me to come here tonight to talk to you about our project and how it's going to work. City of Franklin. Sorry. Maybe some echo. As the mayor alluded to, I am a resident of the city of Franklin. In all fair disclosure, I live at 3647 West Forest Hill. Actually, I've been a resident of Franklin since I've been 19 years old, over about 30 years. We had a little hiatus when my wife and I got married, but since then we've moved back, so just in full disclosure. Anyway, I did work at the city of Franklin for 2 years. I was the first engineering intern. I did work under Jack Bennett, so I have knowledge of the city of Franklin as well. So I just want to go over a little project overview. First off, this project goes back to 2002. We did look at a number of different alternatives for our water supply. We narrowed them down to 6 different alternatives. Those 6 alternatives were evaluated in our environmental impact statement. Ultimately came to the conclusion that Lake Michigan was the only reasonable water supply alternative for the city of Waukesha. The process has been a long and arduous one. We originally submitted the application in 2010. It was reformatted in 2013. We had a number of public hearings, public meetings. The DNR issued a draft environmental impact statement in January of 2015. There was public meetings associated with that draft environmental impact statement. They issued the final draft EIS and technical review in June. And it was in December, it was submitted to a regional body that consists of the 8 Great Lakes states and 2 Canadian provinces. Michigan did their own technical review. The state of Ontario did their own technical review. So this has been reviewed by a number of different entities. They have reviewed all of the information that was provided, and the approval was granted. It had to be unanimous. It was unanimous, 8-0. When the Canadian provinces had their one chance to vote, which was on the findings of fact, they also voted unanimous. They also voted unanimously in favor of it. So this has been fully vetted. There's been a lot of talk in the news, and there's a lot, but there's been a lot of data that's been provided. The basis of the decision, it needed to be based off of facts, and that's what the regional body went through. They developed the findings of facts, and they made their decision. Here's the project in a nutshell. We are going to purchase water from the city of Oak Creek. Again, in the interest of full disclosure, I worked for the city of Oak Creek for 9 years as their utility engineer and assistant general manager. As I also worked for the city of Racine for 4 years as an engineer at their water and wastewater facility and for the city. So just in interest of full disclosure. But we are going to purchase water from the city of Oak Creek. This map shows that it's being bought at 27th and Putes, and it'll be brought out to the city of Waukesha. Waukesha will then treat the wastewater at their wastewater facility. Currently, we discharge wastewater to the Fox River. And also, we have 2 wastewater treatment plants that discharge upstream of us. Their water flows through the city of Waukesha currently, and there are no issues with that wastewater discharge. So I'll get into that in a second. The return flow will come from our wastewater treatment plant and be discharged into the Root River on a parcel that we have an option to purchase on, which is located at 60th and Oakwood. So that's the project in a nutshell. Regional body findings of fact. I don't want to read through all these, so I just highlighted a few things because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I want to make sure that you have the accurate information. One thing, there will be no net loss of water to the basin. We will be returning 100% of the water, so there will be no net loss to the basin. Unlike the state of Illinois, who diverts 2.1 billion gallons of water a day and does not return a single drop. We will be returning all the water to the basin. We currently use... Yes? Did you have a question?
We just lost our quorum.
Oh. We just lost our quorum.
Oh, I didn't see the mayor here.
Oh.
He doesn't count.
The mayor doesn't count.
Yeah, say that. The mayor doesn't count.
Sorry.
No problem. I think we have a quorum now again?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. All right. One of the other things is that we currently have the aquifer reused, just like when Franklin was on the aquifer and utilizing the deep aquifer, just like when Oak Creek was on the deep aquifer. They're drawing water from groundwater that is hydrologically interconnected with the Great Lakes. So we are currently diverting 500 million gallons of water a year out of the basin without return flow because we're using groundwater that would be tributary to the Great Lakes. And the governors and premiers recognize that in their findings of fact. So this will lead to a net increase of water to the Great Lakes Basin with this switch. And they also concluded that they looked at all of our water supply alternatives and they all agreed that we are without a reasonable water supply alternative. So that's why they can approve this. That the withdrawals have exceeded the natural recharge rate, and it's not just the city of Waukesha, it's all of southeastern Wisconsin. Franklin contributed to that. Oak Creek contributed to that. Milwaukee contributed to that. When they were using it. So everyone in this region contributes to that. So, and they all contribute to that decline. There's radium, it's above the Safe Drinking Water Act limits, and we will also eliminate the radium from the environment. And what does that mean? Well, when we bring the radium up from the ground and we have to treat it and remove it, it goes into the waste stream. That radium gets put in the sludge. That sludge then gets land applied, and that radium has a half-life of about 1,100 years. So now we're dealing with radium, a carcinogen, on the surface for that amount of time. We eliminate that when we switch to the new water supply. So therefore, they've deemed that the aquifer is not sustainable for the long term. We cannot avoid this through conservation. A lot of people believe, well, all you got to do is conserve. Nope, that's not the case. We can't just conserve our way out of it. We have the most aggressive water conservation program in the Midwest. We'll return through the Root River. Again, we'll talk about that today. Everyone understood that, and it will benefit a fish facility that's located downstream. Again, all of the states and provinces looked at this and reviewed it. And the reason I can say, and it will improve the Root River, and the reason I can confidently say that it will improve the Root River is because I know the wastewater treatment system, and we'll get into that. And we also will monitor the Root River. We have to monitor the water quality in the Root River. We have to have a monitoring plan, and we have to have a comprehensive pharmaceutical and personal care products, basically recycling any prescription drugs and that sort of thing. There are a number of unique factors, so this won't apply to some of this applies to a lot of people, but because Waukesha has a lot of uniqueness in its application, it doesn't apply to everyone. Therefore, we're under a court order. There's a number of things here. But mainly, the main issue here is that we're going to return 100% of the water, and it will improve the Root River. There were a number of people that suggest that it's going to contaminate the Root River. In fact, the mayor of Racine is out there saying that it's going to contaminate the Root River. The studies and the science does not support that. And again, Michigan did their own technical review, specifically looked at that. Ontario did their own technical review. And all these Great Lakes states reviewed all of the information that we provided and the DNR reviewed and came to the same conclusion. While there may be some impacts to the Root River, the net impact is going to be a positive one. It's going to be a positive one in the Root River. And anybody who's been down in Racine in the summertime at the downstream end of the Root River will have seen that there are low flows at a lot of So, facts for the city of Franklin. The project routing is going to be determined. Right now, we had to put a route in within the application. That route went down St. Martin's Road. I don't think you guys want us to put down St. Martin's Road. I talked to Glenn about that. We're going to work with you to determine what the best routing is through the city of Franklin. In fact, I believe there's an agenda item that's coming up that will look at potentially something along Oakwood Road and raising the grade of Oakwood Road that Dawn's going to be talking about later. With regards to the water supply connection, we're looking at Butte Road, but we're also looking at Ryan Road. So that's there for the dedicated pipeline and where it's going to be pumped from. Again, that discharge was set at 60th and Oakwood. The rates, Oak Creek is going to have to go through a water adjustment case. At a minimum, Franklin's rates will decrease by 20%. There's some projections that have it decreasing up to 35%. So it depends on what the ultimate final costs are and how much we're contributing to that base for the city of Oak Creek in order for them to determine what the rates are going to be. So we are in the process right now, speaking of rates, we're in the process right now of finalizing our contract. Part of that finalizing process is going to be going through how those rates are going to be calculated. I've let Oak Creek know, and I've let Glenn know, and Franklin know that I'm going to be talking to both parties about that, about how those rates are going to be calculated, because we want everybody to agree and everybody to be on the same page. With regards to timing, we're doing the engineering, we're hiring the engineer right now. We are going to be beginning construction, we're anticipating 2018. It could take, and that's an aggressive schedule, it could take a little longer for the permits, and then we'd be looking at 2021 for completion, yes.
Is this water that goes directly to Waukesha? It doesn't stop in Franklin?
No. The way that it's planned right now, it would be a dedicated pipeline from Oak Creek all the way out to Waukesha. Now, that doesn't mean that there may be a connection point on it for Franklin to utilize to service some areas that don't currently have water service or to potentially hook up to their system to backfeed some of their system. That doesn't mean that those talks couldn't be, those discussions can't take place. But what we're looking at right now is a dedicated pipeline that went through the city of Franklin. We're not going to use the city of Franklin's facilities to take the water to get it out to Waukesha. Okay. So finally, as part of our contract, we wanted to include the potential for a regional water authority to be creative, since Oak Creek would be selling majority of the water to outside parties or outside communities. They have agreed to talk to us about that. And of course, the city of Franklin would be included as part of those, as one of the customers of the city of Oak Creek would be included in that. However, one of the things we want to make clear, we're not going to have those discussions until after the contract is complete and until after the construction begins, because we want to make sure that we're going to have safe drinking water for our residents. So we need to move forward with that first, and then we'll have those discussions about a regional water authority. And that could look in any number of different ways, and we'll just have to have those discussions and see if they lead anywhere. Okay, return flow. This has been a huge topic of discussion because there has been a lot of false statements that there's going to be raw sewage floating down the river. We're going to contaminate the river. This is a unique project. Waukesha is getting all these special things. I can't emphasize this enough. That is not further from the truth. In the state of Wisconsin, there are more than 500 municipal wastewater treatment plants. 473 of those discharge to rivers and streams. 94% discharge to rivers and streams. This is nothing unique. In fact, like I said, Waukesha has two, Sussex and Brookfield, both discharge into the Fox River upstream from the city of Waukesha. Water flows through the middle of Waukesha. We have a river walk and development all around the river. There are people water skiing. There are people kayaking, enjoying the river. And there's even a water ski show in the city of Waukesha. It doesn't prevent anyone from enjoying it has to meet the fishable, swimmable standard, yes.
Why are you discharging so far south?
I'm sorry?
So far south. Why are you discharging so far south?
Into
the river.
Into the Root River?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason that we looked at the where the Root River was, there was a number of criteria that we looked at. First off, where we discharge into the Fox River, that basin size or the amount of surface area that contributes water to the river in that area is about the same as it is for the Root River. So we wanted to have it be near the same because for a number of different reasons, when you're looking at temperature data and you're looking at temperature and how temperature could potentially impact the river, or even loading, let's say, such as phosphorus or something like that, you want to be in a basin that's similar in size to what we are now, because we know what those limits are. We also wanted to be, having worked in Franklin and lived in Franklin most of my life, I know the flooding issues that are there on the 60th and Oakwood. We wanted to be downstream of those flooding issues so that we couldn't be accused of having caused some of the flooding that occurs west of 60th Street on Oakwood Road. So we wanted to be downstream of there. So that became a parcel that was available. And it worked out. We were able to come to an agreement. But one of the things with this slide is that I want to make sure that everyone understands discharge into a river is nothing new in the state of Wisconsin. They've been through this a number of times. And we will have to meet all the requirements, including for phosphorus, because you may have heard some things about phosphorus. I just want to give you a quick understanding of our treatment plant and why I know it's better than most treatment plants in the state. This is in the city of Waukesha. This is the Fox River at the location where we discharge. Normally, the water comes into our plant, goes through primary clarification. I won't bore you with all the steps, but it goes through a normal process for wastewater treatment. These are the final clarifiers. That would be the normal wastewater treatment process, like MMSD, Racine. Almost 90% of the treatment plants in the state would have, and that would be the end of it. They would disinfect, and they would go on from there. What Waukesha does different is we have this whole system downstream. Basically, that is a water treatment plant. We add chemicals then to this water where it provides coagulation and sedimentation. So it takes some of those particles out and settles them out. And then we filter them through dual media filters. So that water gets cleaned up to a much higher level than the majority of the wastewater treatment plants in the state. Another thing why I can confidently say that no raw wastewater will ever come back to the Root River is that, and again, when this came up when the governor's representatives were in town and touring our plant, the wastewater treatment pump, the pump station is going to be at this end right in here on our facility. Any bypasses that occur or any water that does not receive full treatment will happen before the return flow pump station. So the only water that, the way that the system is engineered, the only water that can physically get to the return flow pump station is water that is fully treated and fully disinfected. So any bypasses that would occur in that situation, and we don't have many bypasses in the city of Waukesha, a lot of them are due to equipment failures, or most of them, majority of them have been due to equipment failures, but if they were to happen, they would happen in the Fox River like they happen now. The only water that would get here would be fully treated water, which is the only water that could get pumped back. So the only water that's coming back would be fully treated water. Let's talk about just some of the parameters that I wanted to pull out. So we have the return flow water quality, what our permit's going to be, and what the average in the river is. So BOD and suspended solids are two regularly heard of issues related or effluent standards related to wastewater treatment. You can see we put out 1.8 for BOD, biological oxygen demand. The permit's going to be probably less than 5.7, and what you see in the river right now is around 2.4. So we'll be below that. Adding flow and water quality that's lower than what the river is, then you're diluting it to a lower standard, which means you're improving the river. Same thing with suspended solids. But dissolved oxygen, again, it ranges sometimes in the river, it's 5.5. Lower is bad, so more oxygen is good. So you want this number to be higher. We put out a higher number. We're going to have to put out greater than 7. Again, we'll be improving the river. Total phosphorus, we're going to have to be lower than 0.075. And the background in the river is 0.13. Again, we'll be reducing the overall concentration of phosphorus in the river, again, improving the water. Just another example of permits and how they, and I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you, but So here's Cedarburg, Grafton, Racine, MMSD, and what their permits are. And then you're going to see what our permit's going to be. You know, our BOD is going to be less than 5.7 or less than 10. Here, lower than 30, lower than 30, lower than 30. Those are discharges to the lake. Again, look at phosphorus. We're going to be below 0.075. We're going through improvements so that this will be able to meet that. So we'll be able to 0.075. If you look at some of these, they're all below 1. So we're 0.075. That's a 13 times, many times lower than what the phosphorus is in any of the discharges to the Great Lakes. Again, just showing you that the permit levels for discharging to a river are much more stringent than those that discharge to the lake. Now flooding, let's talk about a little bit about flooding. Here this is, again, average return flow, or at the low flow with return flow near the discharge location. So you can see the discharge location at low flow times, the average is around 1.9 million gallons per day. We're going to be adding 8.2 to that, taking it up to 10.1 million gallons a day, raising it about 6.6 inches. And again, this is during low flow periods, which is very positive because that's good for fish passage. That's what you need for aquatic life. You need flow, and you need that base flow to be there. During a flooding event, like a 100-year flood event, there's 3.1 billion gallons a day going down the river, and we're going to be adding 8.2 million gallons a day. So very minimal amount. It's actually negligible. You can't even, the models, it falls within the degree of accuracy for all the models that you run with this. But we're saying that it's going to increase the depth by 0.12 inches, so a very small fraction in this area. We actually have enough land available that if we wanted to, we could potentially put some storage there and even alleviate that even more. But with that number being as small as it is, we don't believe that there's a need to do that. With regards to downflow or downstream at the Steelhead facility, and this is even more important, because this will add about 10,000 angling hours to the Great Lakes and to the Racine or to the metro area here. But in low flow conditions, we're going to be adding about 4.8 inches of depth for those fish to get upstream. I have video that shows fish that cannot get upstream to the treatment facility so that they can, or to the fishery, so that their eggs can be harvested, the fish can be cultivated and grown and sent back out to the lake. We actually have a video that shows that. Then we have a 100-year storm event. Again, we'll be adding 8.2 million gallons a day and 0.12 inches downstream. But the one event that a lot of people remember was the June 2008 event when we had the flooding here. And we have June.
No, it was June. It was June of 2008. Yep.
Yeah, I believe it was because I was actually out of town. I was at the national conference for AWWA, and that's always in June. But anyway, during that event, there was 5.2 billion gallons a day running down the Root River. Again, we'd be adding at most 8.2, have less than an eighth of an inch of impact on that river depth. So it's significant when you look at it in terms of those large events, how minimal amount of water we're actually putting back compared to the water that's flowing, that has fallen from the sky, that's flowing through the river during these events. Again, the DNR operates at the facility. It'll be 10,000 angling hours will be added, so there's a significant benefit. The water quality in the Root River will be improved, so it'll be a significant benefit.
How many straight hours?
I don't know.
You got angling hours. How many straight
hours? Well, you got to be fishing for 10,000 hours. Oh. I don't know. I'm not a fisherman, and I won't claim to be because I never catch any fish. So I'll trust your judgment on that. So with that, I'm going to try. I've tried to be brief. Tried to go over all the aspects of the project that you might be interested in. There's a lot more I can discuss with you here. If you have questions, I can answer them now, or you can feel free to contact me at any time, and I would be more than happy to meet with you. If you have constituents or neighborhood groups that would like to talk about the project, I'm more than happy to meet with them to discuss the project with them.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
PowerPoint?
PowerPoint? Yeah.
Absolutely. Actually, you have a copy already. It's on the computer, but I can email a copy to Glenn and we can get it to you.
I will tell the council there was a lot in that presentation that went by fast that's very important to the future of Franklin and our water customers.
It just flowed by.
It just went streaming by.
I have a question.
Alderman Mayor. Yep. Alderman Dandria.
If you remember it and want it, my information will be there. Feel free to contact me.
Alderman Dandria.
Now, do you have the capability to adjust the flow if we do have a torrential rainstorm so you can slow down the flow?
Then he'd have a torrential
storm. From an engineering perspective, yeah. That's what happens now. We actually proposed that. From an engineering perspective, yes, I can do that. As far as an approval perspective, no, I cannot, because the governors and the premiers decided that the impact was negligible. In fact, it's within the degree of error of the models, and they've said it's negligible compared to the volumes that are down there, and we want you to return it at all times.
Sure, I saw that it increases 1.8 inches of water based on your assumptions. Based on the eighth.
Well, it would be an eighth of an inch, not 1 point.
Oh, an eighth of an inch.
Yeah, okay. We're talking.
So if flooding's going to occur, it's going to occur naturally anyway.
Right. Okay. It was 0.12 inches was the maximum.
Oh, okay.
So it is relatively, and like you said, if flooding's going to occur, it's going to occur because of what's falling from the sky, not because of what we're returning.
Okay.
That's why I throw out those numbers. A lot of people don't understand that. And it's, like I said, in that 2008 event, it was 5 billion gallons a day, and we're adding 8 million. So it's
motion to receive and place that file.
Second.
I just have one more question.
Alderman Mayor.
When you talked about Ryan Road, Ryan Road? Was that Highway 100 or?
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry, Highway 100, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And one of the routes that we were looking at and that Glenn's going to be talking to you later is Oakwood Road. And one would be Ryan Road up through Old Ryan Road. And we're already talking to the county because I know the county is already planning on doing that. We've already had some discussions with them about it because Glenn made us aware of it so that they wouldn't necessarily do that. Because when we come through, we would be ripping up the road.
So yep. They'll make you pay for it then.
Exactly correct.
So it is Highway 100 though. It's not Old Ryan Road.
It would be Highway 100 then. Then goes to Old Ryan Road, so we continue to go straight. We wouldn't follow Highway 100 around.
Nice information.
So,
Dan, this is Alderman Mayor's district.
That is still all up in the air.
Sorry,
we don't know where it's going to go. So, we're working. We're going to work with the city. We're going to work with Franklin, Muskego, and New Berlin, and exactly work with them on what would be the best path to come through. Because we also want it to be. You know, I wouldn't want to say a benefit, but we also wanted to work with you guys already for me also.
There's a motion to place on file. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Have a great time.
Thank you.
The vote is 5 ayes, 1 no. Alderman Baer.
Who's the one? No, one abstention. No. One no one here. 5-0.
Four ayes, one no, one absent.
Right. You want to put it on file?
Yeah. No.
You want to put it?
I'm not in favor of the entire project.
Okay.
All right.
Item G5, business appreciation event. It's scheduled for October 13th. Glenn's going to use Aaron's going to use $5,000 out of his budget to pay for it.
To make a motion, to receive and file it up to.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. G6, a resolution to table a preliminary plat.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Next meeting or permanent?
Next meeting.
Next meeting.
20th.
Next meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G7, an ordinance to amend the zoning map to table. That would be till September 20th.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G8, the bids for the barn came back way too high. Is there a motion to reject all and rebid?
So moved. Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G9, This one may take some discussion. A resolution authorizing professional services contract for Ari Smith to study Oakwood Road at the Root River.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any, any opposed? The vote is 4 ayes, 1 no, 1 absent. So I got it down now. We just make all the meetings last until 9:30 and then vote on everything. Item G10, an authorized to approve execution of an intergovernmental agreement with Greendale.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G11, appointment of an auditor for the City of Franklin Financial Reports 2016 through 2020. It's important to recognize it goes through 2020. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G12 is the...
Motion to see place that file.
Any questions for the finance officer?
No. Second.
All those, anything jump out, Paul? Okay. Maybe.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We now get to the most controversial issue of the year.
Motion to do it last year. Saturday, 4 to 7.
Okay, the recommendation is Sunday, 4 to 7.
Oh, so is it Sunday here?
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday, yeah, sure, Sunday.
Second.
Yeah.
So your motion's for Sunday?
Sure, yes.
For Sunday.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I got to tell you, I'm happy you voted that way because the clerk's office has been inundated with calls wanting to know when it is. And we've been telling them Sunday. So
no,
that's good.
I was reading what we did last year as a Saturday, so I was, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Item G14. This is a closed session item.
Motion for the next meeting.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item H1, Alderman Taylor, licenses.
Okay, we got number one, Rock Sports Complex, approved following police recommendations. So there's a police recommendation for their hours of operation. Then the next two are approved. Nicole Leslie, hold for appearance. The rest are approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Paul, when are we going to change I-1 to a unit?
This changed.
Ah, here we go. I didn't read this one. Is there a motion approving the following? City vouchers ending the date of September 1, 2016, the amount of $1,563,525.10, and payroll dated August 19, 2016, in the amount of $387,203.41, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $388,175.03, plus city matching payments, and the payroll dated September 2, 2016, in the amount of $367,400.53, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $207,483.33 plus city matching payments, and the estimated payroll dated September 16th, 2016, in the amount of $373,000, and payments of various payroll deductions in the amount of I can't go any faster.
This is awesome.
$277,000 plus the city matching payments, and property tax payments with an ending date of September 1st, 2016, in the amount of $248.93.
So moved.
Second. Woo. I like this. Yeah. I like this.
That's a trained broadcaster, and I never read that before. Okay.
That's why
yes.
I see.
Yes, correct.
Idea.
A roll call, Madam Clerk.
Actually, the mayor thought that it would relieve him from having to read it all.
That didn't
and
work.
It didn't happen. It's like five less motions.
Yeah.
Votes.
Alderman
D'Andrea.
Aye. Alderman Mayor. Aye. Alderman Taylor. Aye. Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Motion carries 4 ayes. 5 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, no abstentions. Is there a motion adjourned?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.